Welcome to Me Time, the podcast for women in midlife who've been taking care of everyone else and now say, it's my turn to take care of me. I'm Kim Aceto, health and self-care coach for women in midlife and your host. Thank you for spending your precious me time with me right now. Enjoy the show. Okay, so today I am joined with Heidi Sloss, and Heidi is an RYT 200, which is a registered yoga teacher 200, and she lives and teaches yoga and meditation in Silicon Valley. She combines 30 plus years of spiritual practice with the moving meditation of yoga, guiding her students to focus the mind, relax the body, connect the spirit, and open the heart. Heidi is a certified yoga for healthy aging teacher and has completed a 20-hour pelvic floor teacher training, two 30-hour restorative yoga teacher trainings, as well as her 200-hour yoga teacher training. She's in the process of becoming a RYT, again, is that that's the Registered Yoga Teacher 500, at Breathe Together Yoga Studio in Los Gatos, California. Heidi, thank you for joining me on the Me Time Midlife Podcast.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah. And I believe we met at the Blog Her Conference in San Jose, your hometown. And yeah, that's where we met, right?
Yeah, it's probably been, what, 4 or 5 years?
Oh, yeah, I think so. Yeah, and we had a breakout session for midlife bloggers, and I think we connected there, and we've kind of stayed connected a little bit, right?
Absolutely. I find you very inspirational, so yes.
Well, thank you, and I love what you're doing now, and looking forward to talking with you about this. So before we get started on that stuff, let me ask you the question I ask every guest first, which is, what do you enjoy during your me time?
So what do I enjoy doing?
Yeah.
So I do a variety of things. Obviously, I practice yoga and I meditate. I take meditation classes. In fact, I'm in the middle of one right now and learning new skills all the time. But the other thing that I do, in addition to reading and walking, which are partly healthy and mind enriching, is I am obsessed with embroidering. And specifically, I do a type of Norwegian embroidery called Hardanger. And I love it. It's meditative and relaxing and creative and tactile. And that's what I do in my me time.
Oh, great. Wonderful. Okay, so let's talk about yoga for healthy aging. I love so much about that phrase or sentence, yoga for healthy aging. So why did you get into this yoga for healthy aging? Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
So, yes, thank you for asking. Our bodies, as we all know, changes as we age. And practicing yoga in my 20s, and then I actually took several decades off and came back to the yoga mat, oh gosh, about 4, 5, 6 years ago. And it had always been one of those things, someday I'll return to the yoga mat. And my mother was diagnosed with Alzheimer's. And the next day I got back on the yoga mat with this idea that someday is running out and I better make those some days happen. And I noticed, even though I'm very flexible, lots of fluidity in my muscles and joints and soft tissues, as we have aged, our bodies change, and the power yoga, the gymnastic type yoga is not appropriate for our bodies as we age. And so I started my journey as a yoga teacher actually in my mid-50s, which is a little bit late to the party, but I showed up. And I noticed that while I was training with gals in their 20s and 30s and even 40s, our bodies are different, and what is good for my body is different from what is good for a younger body. And that sort of inspired me to explore more about this. Somebody told me about a teacher over in the East Bay, in the Oakland, California area, who was writing a book and accrediting yoga teachers to be certified for yoga for healthy aging. And he is both an MD and a yoga teacher and married to a yoga teacher, and they do a week-long training. And we explore the different ways yoga can help our bodies as we age, improving flexibility, strength, mobility, agility. And then the fifth one is equanimity, this idea of a mindset. And so I don't mind anymore, frankly, that I can't do the gymnastic yoga things. In fact, I love my practice now as much or more, and it feels good to me. And I don't do things that push my body in ways that this 58-year-old body is just not going to move. And that's okay. I'm not upset about that. So I really feel strongly that people who are teaching yoga or working with others as we age needs to have an understanding of what is and is not healthy and good for us. And so I was thrilled to get certified in that. And in fact, I'm taking a training in 2 months in Santa Barbara on accessible yoga, helping people who are differently abled, you know, with maybe more limitations to their mobility, to still be able to have a practice that is both movement, the asanas, and stilling of the mind, more meditative experience, both of which are really the definition of yoga.
Mm-hmm. Wow, so many juicy things in there. But I think just the fact that yoga has just become more popular, I think, not just for the 20-something, you know, fit girls, you know what I mean? That we think of maybe stereotypically when we think about, you know, joining a yoga studio. And so now what's great is that people like you come along and want to promote yoga for women over 50. And I'm also seeing yoga for children.
Absolutely.
As well. Right.
Yeah, it's super cool. You know, this idea of the yoga studios, a lot of studios, I've worked at several, think that they're welcoming to all people of all ages and all sizes. And some are, and a lot are not. And that idea when we close our eyes and see the cover of Yoga Journal, usually a tall white woman who has legs from here to there and, you know, can bend herself like a pretzel, is beautiful. But that's not necessarily really what yoga is about. And it's not necessarily the dream to aspire to. So when a yoga studio has a yoga class that says they're good for all types, it may or may not be. Sometimes, just even in the language that yoga teachers use, gives people the sense of there's real yoga and there's what you're doing. And that can be a difference. And that's sad because that's not really accurate. There's only yoga that we are each doing, and that is real yoga. And using props like the wall or blocks or bolsters or chairs or desks or any of that kind of thing is totally legitimate. There isn't the real yogis are up on this top level and the rest of us are aspiring there. If there's any level of hierarchy, it's in how still we can create in our minds. It's not how much we can bend our bodies into pretzels.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I have learned so much through yoga. You know, being an athlete, everything was about competition and everything was about beating the other person, right? Excelling over winning, right? And then you get into a yoga class and it's not about the 80-year-old lady next to me who's doing a better job and can hold the poses longer and is more flexible, right? I mean, yeah. It's not about that. The emphasis is on your practice, right? And, you know, getting into these positions when your body is ready, you know, and not necessarily feeling like you have to, you know, it's a different mindset, which I really love.
Yeah. And it's hard though. I mean, so we're so used to looking around the room, and I think all people are, women maybe even cranked a little tighter on that, looking around and comparing ourselves to others. And I've been in yoga classes over the years where someone will come up to me afterwards and say, oh my God, you've got a beautiful practice. And you know, I'm obviously touched and honored. But on the other hand, when I'm on a yoga mat in a class, and I take yoga classes as a teacher as well, because it's a lifelong learning event, we're always students, I try to create a bubble so that I pull within before I look around. Because it is so easy to look around and say, oh my God, she got into that pose and look how great that is. I want to do that, or do a whole body thing. My thighs are bigger than hers, and all of this mind chatter. And that's one of the reasons why yoga is so cool, because we go through this in a class, some of us, and it's just like life, right? You know, that gets us nowhere, this idea of competition. Even professional athletes, the fact is, those who I've had the opportunity to get to talk to and connect with talk about the most meaningful events for them isn't when they're competing with others. It's when they're really competing against what they thought they could do and what they end up doing. And so my classes on Yoga for Healthy Aging are not necessarily about achieving the pose, but about moving in and out of the pose. Yes, I do put people in poses and have them hold it for a while, because I think that that is much better for our joints, and trying to master or discipline all the little comments that come up in our mind as we're struggling, because it is analogous to what we do off the mat as well. It's no good to me, in my mind, in my perspective, to have this cool, wonderful moment on a mat for an hour a day and then leave it on the mat. The idea that I want to be a part of and the people I want to work with and study with are people who take it off the mat.
Right. To be able to translate what you've learned and put it into your daily life. Absolutely.
Especially as we age, because, you know, there's things that happen. It's not bad. It's just differences. You know, our endurance changes. For some, if they've been super sedentary, you know, maybe it gets better. But, you know, our joints change and our muscles change and our bodies change. And that's not a problem. It only becomes a problem when we define, okay, in your 20s is your peak. And that's the way we define normal. And anybody outside of that norm is a problem. And I say no. You know, the 20s has its norm, the 30s, the 40s, the 50s, 60s, 70s, and on up to 80s and 90s. And what is your norm? And how can we help you feel better in this body having this experience today?
I love that. So let's talk about midlife women and yoga. And yoga is something that I recommend to my clients. I ask them, have you thought about yoga? Right? Because I think when we think about exercise or physical activity or working out, it's often like this like really intense, not that yoga can't be intense, because it is very intense in its own way, but where you have to lift a lot of weights and you have to, you know, jump around and you have to holler. And, you know, I mean, I think sometimes that's what women think that they need in order to get in shape or to feel good or to have a healthy body. But, you know, there's other kinds of exercise as well. So share a little bit about the importance of yoga for midlife women.
So as I mentioned before, Yoga for Healthy Aging specifically, and any well-trained, well-qualified yoga teacher should have a perspective on, we're helping bodies achieve better fluidity, better agility, better mobility, better strength. And those things in our bodies will have different definitions depending on our age and stage. Being able to jump around in a Zumba or I did step aerobics for decades is great, and it is exercise. But yoga is more than just a physical exercise. There's that mental component we were talking about a few minutes ago, and it's the putting of it together. You don't have to be jumping up and down in an aerobic way in order to get your heart beating and your body pumping, the lymph system, the blood, the whole thing. In fact, holding a plank, whether you're on your hands and or down on your forearms, for 5 minutes, man, you will build some body heat. Or in a chair pose, as if you were sitting in a chair, but you're not, and your knees are bent in a healthy way. Arms can be raised over the head or on the hips. you stay in that pose for 5-10 minutes, you will also be creating some major body heat and using your legs, and your heart will be pumping. And so one doesn't need to be mean or rough on one's joints in order to be healthy, and in order to achieve better agility, better mobility, better flexibility, and better agility. And so that's the myth. And, you know, there's power vinyasa classes. You see those on yoga schedules, and those are going to be lots of fast movement, lots of aerobic moving in and out of poses. And that has its place. And that can feel really good, especially if you've had a rough day or you got a lot going on. It gets you out of all of those mind-numbing tasks and problems that you're trying to solve, and get you really in your body, which then helps you actually later solve the problems better. But as we age, that kind of yoga is not really great for our bodies. It puts too much pressure and too much stress on our joints, specifically wrists, specifically ankles. It can mess up our knees. And so I prefer a gentle flow, movement with a breath. So with each movement, we're coordinating it with breathing and doing moments of breathing maybe a little bit faster than resting, but also just moving with a resting breath. And that alone can actually help with keeping our bodies healthy as we age.
Mm-hmm. Right. So you mentioned vinyasa, right? Power vinyasa. And that's one of the things I feel sometimes is like, you're interested in possibly trying yoga, and you go to a yoga studio and you ask for their schedule to see if it's going to match up with maybe a class will work with your schedule. And then you see all these strange names like vinyasa, right? And I don't know some of the other ones, but it's like a whole other language. And for the novice who's never tried yoga, has no idea where to start, I mean, maybe one of the classes says beginner or level one or gentle, things like that. You know, how can you share, with us a little bit about the different types of yoga and where a woman in midlife might want to start, and what she can expect, and if she needs any kind of, prior knowledge or experience. Let's talk about the novice, okay? And the different types of yoga and where she might begin if she's interested in trying it.
So this is a question with somewhat of a complicated answer, only because there are yoga studios and there are yoga studios, and there's yoga in gyms, and there's yoga in all sorts of places, the Y and senior centers and all sorts of things. And any one of those can have excellently trained teachers, and any one of those can have questionable teachers. So for somebody who has never done yoga, I absolutely think a beginner class is better. As long as it says beginner, level one is not necessarily the right place to start. Beginner classes will have the poses deconstructed. They might not be as satisfying to when compared with down the road, but they will teach you the poses, the basic poses, and hopefully with the right teacher who knows what they're doing. And if they're certified, that definitely helps. They'll learn the poses. I have a bias, and I'm happy to admit it. I think that learning yoga online is not a great way to learn how to keep our bodies healthy. There are habits and patterns our bodies get into, and we're not necessarily even aware of it. And one can tweak or torque a joint, and owie, I don't recommend that. And it's super easy to do that on a video because no one's there to help balance the pose so that you're in and out of it in a healthy way. So a beginner class is great for someone who's never taken a yoga class. Gentle yoga classes are the second place to go to after maybe you've gone to a beginner class or two, or if you've had just a tiny bit of experience. If you can't find anything for a total beginner, then those gentle flow classes will have movement. And that's what I'm assuming you're looking for. So there's the movement classes, which get the body moving. And, you know, it can be as simple as lifting our arms up with our inhale to hands above the head and then exhale hands down. And that kind of gentle movement, maybe pushing people slightly to their physical edge, but not going over that edge on any stretch of an imagination. And that's good. We're not looking to do that. There are other kinds of gentle classes you might see on a yoga schedule would be restorative yoga. These are going to be more restorative or resting, rejuvenating in a very slow, gentle way that is instead of a movement class, which is trying to build heat in the body, a restorative yoga class is going to be to try to bring cooling to the body and calm some of that heating down, and certainly should be helpful for calming the what one calls the monkey mind, the nonstop chatter in one's mind. They're very great for people who maybe have anxiety or have some trouble calming their minds, which, you know, for some of us, when I went through menopause 18-19 years ago, I didn't get hot flashes per se, but I would get these little shots of anxiety moments. And so restorative yoga is wonderful for that. You might also see yin yoga on a schedule. Yin yoga is a little more stretchy. The idea is to stretch the soft tissue, that fascia layer that surrounds the muscle and tendons. And that's relaxing, but can be somewhat stressing because it for some of us, as we stretch some of those muscles and tendons and soft tissue, it's a little painful. So it's not quite the restoring experience that restorative yoga has. So it depends on whether you want to build heat or build a cool down the body. But I would definitely make phone calls to a yoga studio. Understand that everybody has to start a journey, and it starts with that first step. I have certainly placed myself in classes where I've known nobody, and that is part of, you know, being a mature human and trying a new experience, and then totally trusting one's intuition. If it doesn't feel like you connect with the teacher, the good news is there's probably lots of other yoga studios around. And even if there aren't lots, there's just one other that probably has your right teacher or right set of types of yoga. So don't settle for something that is not feeling right in your body. And that's one of the things I think that's super cool is I've connected more with women as I've aged. Most of us are getting to that point where it's like, yeah, I'm not going to place myself in a position for a yoga class or an exercise class or any kind of experience that I know deep in my gut is not right for me. So I think trusting one's gut in that, even with being uncomfortable, I certainly was after going back on the mat after 25 years of being away. And then there's the whole experience, frankly, of putting on yoga pants and yoga clothes. And it's one of the reasons why when I teach my Yoga for Healthy Aging series, I rent a dance studio. I bring all the yoga stuff there just to give women over 50 an experience where they're with others just like them and they're not having to worry about any of that stuff.
Yeah. Wow. I love that. I really do. So let's talk about injuries, because it's inevitable that as we get older, we just have this one body, right, Heidi? And there are things that are going to go wrong with it. And we all have injuries and we all have imbalances and all of those things. So by the time a woman's 50, she's going to have some problems, possibly in her knees or her back or her wrists, as you mentioned. So can you share a couple of yoga modifications of some of the common poses for women who may have a knee injury or a lower back injury or a wrist injury? I think those might be the three biggest ones that you'd need a modification for. I know that we could probably have a whole episode talking about this, but just take a couple of minutes if you could to share some modifications for the woman who maybe can't come and work with you, or maybe has yet to visit a yoga studio and is still doing an online version of yoga, maybe something that you can help her with if she does have a problem with an injury.
Sure. So, you know, you're right, Kim, we could go in a whole episode. And one thing I would definitely say is if you're doing yoga online, to have props, to have bolsters and blocks, a chair or some sort of edge that you can balance your hands on. There's no reason to be in a pose and pushing oneself to achieve a pose that your body isn't going to do comfortably and healthy. And so that's super important. But let's talk about wrists, because a lot of people associate the pose down dog with yoga, as well they should. It's a wonderful pose because it does so many great things, but not all bodies are good in it. And that's the pose where one has one's hands down on the mat, feet down on the mat, and butt up in the air. There's just no other way to say it. But there are ways one can tweak knees, can tweak lower back, can tweak wrists and shoulders. And so bending one's knees, not forcing the heels to go all the way down. And I modify with a lot of students to do a forearm down dog, so that there is less dumping of our whole torso weight onto our shoulders and wrists. I certainly have suffered my version and issues with my wrists and ankles, and so I'm always very careful of that. And bending one's knees can soften almost any pose. I talked about chair pose before, and that's a, you know, can be tweaking of knees if it's not done right, if the pelvis is too tilted one way or the other, and if the knees are bowed out or poking over the toes in such a way, and the weight isn't balanced on the heels. So I think that those are kinds of modifications. And I don't say modifications because doing them in another way is the right way, and then we modify to make it work for us. I am a firm modern yoga teacher. I don't believe the way that yoga was taught 100 years ago or 200 years ago is the only way. And in fact, I feel like that's a dangerous way, because if some person in some yoga studio in India taught it in a certain way, it doesn't necessarily mean that it's the right thing for this body. So modifications to make the pose work for the body, as opposed to the body work for some version of a pose that is not healthy. So I've had lots of injury recovery from ankle surgeries, and I had to learn that some poses I have to bend my knee in a different way than, you know, what a 14-year-old boy would have to do to achieve the pose. And sometimes my heel is up in a pose that in a book or online, the heel would be down. And that's not a problem. It helps keep my hips safe, my lower back safe, et cetera, et cetera.
Right. Yeah. So, you know, along with injuries, I mean, there's just no doubt that as we get older, we lose flexibility, we lose strength. You know, we lose a lot of those things that we used to have. And I can't imagine taking 25 years off of yoga, right? I bet it was getting back on the mat was maybe humbling compared to maybe the things that you used to do in the past, or remembering the way it felt. I know that even now, I mean, I played basketball, and even now if you give me a basketball, I haven't shot a basketball in years. It would just feel kind of foreign. But you know, then you get back into it and you remember, and now you have kind of a different body to work with, but you work with that body.
If taking time off, one of the cool things about it is that they have been doing studies about repetitive motion injuries. And so actually, I think in some ways, taking that time off, I played a lot of tennis, competitive for sort of sport level, excuse me. And I'm glad I took that time off, because frankly, I'm not worried about repetitive injury in the same way. I do poses differently, and I'm much more in my body now than I was, and I was pretty much then too. So I trust that I know the difference between what is a healthy challenge to my body and what is a non-healthy. There are people who get injured doing anything, including in yoga. And so there is a level of responsibility each student has every time he or she walks into a studio, and that is to manage oneself and to place oneself in a class where hopefully the teacher also has a great understanding. And I will say that's one of the reasons why I'm doing more continuing ed. A 200 yoga teacher means I spent 200 hours in my basic training. 300 is 300 more hours of learning and studying. And there are some studios who will only hire 500 hour yoga teachers. And I will say that in a larger class, like in a gym out here in the Bay Area, 24 Hour Fitness has yoga classes that is 50, 60, 70 people. I really do not recommend that for beginners or for aging bodies unless the teacher knows what they're doing. And you can tell pretty quickly in a class. And there is nothing wrong, and I have certainly done it, with starting a class and then deciding it's not for you. I don't recommend you actually walk out of the room in the middle of the class. That's very disconcerting to the rest of the class and to the teacher, but it can be a wonderful experience actually to lay in Shavasana or the corpse pose, which almost every yoga class will put you in, whether it's restorative or vinyasa or flow or whatever it's called, and just lay on your back and close your eyes and tune into your breath. And just meditate on your breath, breathing in with your inhale and breathing out with your exhale for the rest of the class. That can actually be a really cool experience. It's a challenge, but it's sometimes the healthy alternative if you're in a class that's just the wrong fit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was something that I always appreciated, that you can do whatever you want. You know, if you need to just lay in Shavasana, that's totally fine. I really love that. Okay. So Heidi, before we go, you are a part of this retreat that's coming up, right? Can you share a little bit about that, when it is and what your part will be in it?
Sure. Thanks for asking. I'm super excited about this. So, a friend of mine who is a mindful coach, she works with groups and, individuals of women over 50, is leading a mindful retreat in Sedona, Arizona, starting on Thursday, April 25th, and going through the evening of Saturday, April 27th. And she has asked me to do yoga classes. So we'll have every morning a wake up yoga class. And my husband laughed when I told him I was doing that, because he knows I'm not an early morning person. He said, "You must really want to do this." And I do, because I really want to support women over 50 doing mindful retreats. And partly it's because of learning how to slow down, learning to tune into a different pace, but also this creating of community, creating of tribe. And I think that a lot of us are looking for that. And the woman who's doing this retreat is big on creating that. Her name is Janet Fouts. And so we'll be doing morning yoga, then activities all during the day on mindfulness, some group activities, some individual. Mid-afternoon, I'll be leading people through another stretching moment. And then the last night, there'll be a restorative yoga class that's really going to be quite yummy with a guided meditation. So thanks for asking.
That sounds great. Yeah, and I'll put the link to that for ladies that want more information. I'll put that in the show notes. Well, Heidi, listen, thank you so much for the work that you do and for, you know, representing, you know, this population of women over 50. It's so important. We both do that in different ways, and it's all needed. And I really thank you for, you know, the time and dedication and obvious passion you have for yoga and for this demographic. So thanks again for coming on here and sharing with us, and, you know, maybe we'll have you back and talk about some more specific, things having to do with yoga, but this was a great introduction for the woman who is not quite sure, but, has really been thinking about getting into yoga, being over 50. So thanks again for coming on to the podcast.
Thanks for having me, Kim. It's been a delight.
If you find the Me Time Midlife podcast valuable, there are many ways you can support it and support yourself while doing it. You can review it on iTunes, Stitcher, or wherever you happen to listen to it. You can tell your friends about it or share it on social media. And if you want more me time in your life, consider becoming a member of the Me Time Midlife community. This is my online community of like-minded and like-hearted women in midlife who want to take charge of their life by cultivating their health, happiness, and purpose while building connections and friendships along the way. There are many benefits to joining, including monthly member-only Q&As with some of the experts you hear on the podcast. Plus, as a listener of the podcast, you get a special listener discount. Go to metimemidlifepodcast.com to learn more. Again, thank you for listening. And until next time, remember, you've been taking care of everyone else. It's your turn to take care of you.